And welcome to Weather Seekers, a podcast from the National Weather Service Juneau. We bring you all things about weather for Southeast Alaska each and every week. I'm Wes, your host this week. But before we get to our discussion of the week, we know why you're here, the weather. Join with me in the studio, we have Bob, one of our lead forecasters, fresh from the operations floor. Bob, it's been kind of raining off and on today in a lot of places this Thursday. And even when it's not raining, you can kind of see it raining somewhere in the mountains. But on everyone's mind is a storm brewing that we hear about. So you say the weather is going to turn worse Friday for Juneau, Haines, Sitka, and the Northern Panhandle?
Yes, we'll be seeing rain coming in probably Friday morning, and the winds will be also increasing.
Wow, so how much rain are we talking about?
We're looking at around 2 to 4 inches for a lot of the area.
Wow, and maybe some isolated amounts like 5 to 6, maybe you're on Pelican, potentially, in places like that. It is what it is, but we need the rain for the drought. What about for the Southern Panhandle? Is it going to rain there on Friday?
Yeah, Southern Panhandle will probably have a light rain during the day Friday, and then the heavier rains will arrive there Friday night.
So really the gully washers happen Friday night for Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, places like that.
Yes, probably into early Saturday.
Into early Saturday. So around noon Saturday, maybe?
Yeah.
The other thing we got going on is it's Thursday afternoon as we record this, and it looks like there's a flood watch out for the Tyah River near Skagway. How can we be under a drought but yet have a flood watch in Skagway for the Tyah River?
Well, we've had a lot of rain over the past several days, and the ground is getting pretty wet, soaked, and the heavier rain coming in Friday will probably be mostly running off into the rivers and streams and cause a significant rise, and that's why flooding will be potential.
Whereas this flooding, it's only going to be Friday night if it happens. It's a possibility. We're under a flood watch, but the drought is more long range.
Yes, that's a very long-term deficit in rainfall. In this case, probably over 1 or 2 years.
Well, thank you so much. But before I let you go, I also hear there might be another storm on the horizon after this one, like early next week.
Yeah, it's a possibility. We may have another very wet system coming in for that time.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know you have a lot to do. I'll let you get back.
All right, thank you.
Any fans of New Kids on the Block out there? We thought so. We invited our own meteorological boy band to the studio. Well, they're not really a band. They're actually some of our newest forecasters at our station. We want you to get to know them as they speak about adjusting to forecasting in our fascinatingly complex region. And here they are, National Weather Service Juneau's New Kids on the Block. Daniel leads off with harmonies from Caleb, Greg, and Cody.
Well, here we are with some of the newest hires here at the Weather Service here in Juneau, and we're going to talk a little bit about their expectations and some of their interests as well. Oh, let's actually introduce yourselves before we ask any questions here. We'll start to my left and go around in a circle, and you'll introduce yourselves. Tell us about where you're from, where you went to school, and what first fascinated you about the weather.
All right, so I guess I'll go first. My name's Caleb Cravens. I am from a small town. It's called Sparta, Tennessee. I went to Mississippi State University. I graduated in May of 2018. And what got me interested in weather, I would say just, you know, from a young age, I've just always had this fascination with weather and wanting to know how it works and trying to figure out the processes. And ever since you have that first weather class in school, I think it was like sixth grade for me, and you learn your cloud types. That was just so cool to me. And so ever since then, I've just always have been kind of passionate about learning more about the weather. And now I'm here. So came a long way since learning cloud types. But so that's a little bit about me. I guess I'll pass it on now.
Hi, I'm Greg Spawn. I hail from Northwest Chicago, a small suburb of about 70,000 people.
That's a little bigger than 4,000 people in my hometown, Sparta.
Just a few people here and there, yeah. Arlington Heights. I graduated from Valparaiso University in the great state of Indiana back in May of 2018. What got me into the weather? Well, like you, you know, it's from a real young age. It's hard to actually pinpoint just when I got interested in the weather. I've known and I've loved the weather for almost as long as I can remember. I can recall trying to forecast back when I was in second grade or third grade. I wasn't too good at it back then. I'll be the first to admit I didn't have all that much knowledge about what I was actually doing. You know, it turns out it wasn't a phase. My interest in meteorology did not diminish, you know, later on in grade school or high school. It stayed. Found myself going to college to get a degree in it. And now here I am in wonderful Juneau.
Great. Thanks. Let's move on.
Hello, everybody. My name is Cody Moore. I am from Louisville, Kentucky. I've been there for the past 13 years. I've actually lived all over the East. Grew up on Long Island, lived in Chicago. And in each of those cities, there was something different that fascinated me about the weather. In New York, we had the cool thunderstorms that would come on shore, and we'd have these blizzards in the winter where you get 2 to 3 feet of snow, and that interests me. That's what really got me into the weather. Then moving to Chicago and Kentucky, we had every type of weather you can imagine, from tornadoes to floods to extreme heat to extreme cold, and that just fueled my passion for the weather. When I was in high school, I actually started working with meteorologists, and we had a weather page on Facebook with like 10,000 followers.
Oh.
So that kept my interest going all through college. I went to the University of Louisville, where I graduated in 2017 with a bachelor's in atmospheric science. After that, I volunteered at the Weather Service there in Louisville for a couple years until I got hired on here in Juneau, Alaska. And I'm very excited to be here.
Nice. You know, it seems it's kind of that way with us in this profession. Is it starts at a young age, the fascination with weather. There's a common story. If you ask people, if you go around, why'd you, join the Weather Service, or why'd you choose meteorology as a profession? I don't know about you, Dan, if what your necessarily your story is, but it seems it starts at a young age, and that kind of seems to be the trend.
Yeah. For me, I grew up in Oklahoma, born and raised. I was used to thunderstorms during the summer, during the spring and summertime. And so I just became fascinated with how the clouds would grow from basically nothing in the clear sky in the day to these towering, lightning, powerful storms at night. And
yes, I miss the lightning. We don't get much here.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. Yeah, actually, I kind of took a different route. I went to school out in Utah, Brigham Young University, and I got a degree in applied physics. And so I kind of, I actually started out chemical engineering, and then I changed to physics. I didn't really decide that I wanted to get into meteorology until later, midway through college, but I was already involved. And so I decided that I'd go to grad school in meteorology, and by 2004, I started a graduate school at the University of Utah, 2 years of meteorology school there, and it was the best 2 years of college ever.
Nice.
And yeah, I came here to Juneau to the forecast office about a year and a half ago, back in February 2018. Yeah. So in this room, I'm the senior forecaster.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing we didn't say is when we got here.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess just real quick, I got here in the end of June. So I've been here is about 3 months now.
I got here at the beginning of September. Full, like, what, 2.5, 3 weeks of experience now? So
nice, yeah.
And I got here at the end of May, so I'm coming up on my 4 months here.
Nice.
Old man.
Old right. man. All right, so the first question that we're going to pose to you guys is, what was your first impression of Southeast Alaska when you stepped off the boat or the plane, and which one was it?
So I actually drove here from Kentucky, so I had to drive to Skagway and then take the ferry down to Juneau. And my first impression when I stepped off the boat in Juneau, I was shocked at how pretty it was. I had no clue what to expect. I've never been to Alaska before. And you step off the boat in Auk Bay, and I drove to downtown where I live, and that drive was gorgeous. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, everything was green, and, you know, we're in a drought, so of course it was sunny and warm, and it was nothing like, I guess, what I expected. City's kept up very well.
I had the same feeling when I first got here. I drove here from Tennessee, and we took the ferry system here from Canada. But when we stepped off the boat, I think on the day I got here, it was rainy. So it was kind of more typical weather here. But the next day it cleared up and it was beautiful, and it stayed that way for weeks. Just, I remember thinking on the way here, even though it was rainy, it's just seeing the mountain peaks and just everything, the scenery, and it is beautiful. And I was excited to be here. Still am.
I remember I also drove up, strangely enough, from the great state of Illinois through Canada to Skagway and took the boat. Got off the boat right before midnight, so the first night here I didn't really see much. I was just, if I'm being honest with you, following Google Maps, trying to plot the shortest route to my hotel so I could get some much-needed sleep at that time. But yeah, when you wake up and you take your first look around here, coming from the Midwest, my idea of terrain and topography is, a hill that's maybe 50 feet here, another one over there that's maybe 40, 50 feet. You get to Alaska, it's almost like something out of a movie,
I always tell people it's out of like a an outdoor magazine or something.
Literally, no. It's like you're living in a postcard. It's the scenery's unrivaled.
Yeah, and every place you look, it's like a Nat Geo picture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
yes, it's awesome in the most true sense of the word.
Yeah, when I came in February, I actually flew in. Everything was white. I could see when I looked out the window, we were about to land into Juneau. Everything was just white, covered in white, except for the water, which was a dark blue. And so it's just very monochromatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so definitely different. Something that I never experienced before.
And I'm sure you had limited daylight when you got here.
Oh, yeah.
Must also be interesting for you because you'd gone from, you know, first, what was it, Oklahoma, right? Where you have basically unlimited visibility in every direction. You know, it's pretty flat in Oklahoma, to Utah, and then all the way up to here.
Yep. Flatlands to the mountains. So next, what has been the most challenging part of learning to forecast in Southeast Alaska? Who should we start with? Greg?
Crikey. Well, learning is definitely a very relevant word. It's still ongoing, and it will be for a long time. I'd say a mixture of the terrain and, you know, the marine landscapes. Terrain especially, you know, it's one of those areas in forecasting that can really make all the difference. You know, if you're 200 feet or 300 feet higher, then you go from, you know, getting an inch of rain to 15 inches of snow. And marine forecasting, you know, that's something, you know, like growing up, you know, in Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, and Mississippi, you might not think about too much because, you know, we're mainly flat land with the river here and there. You get here and it's critical. Everyone seems to have a boat or knows someone who has a boat. And, you know, trying to figure out which way the winds are going to go, how long they're going to blow that way, you know, what's going to be 5 knots, 10 knots, 50 knots. It's pretty cool. Pretty challenging, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say the same thing for me. Probably more so the geography, learning the... We have such a large area of responsibility here. And so learning the geography of everything first was probably the most challenging. And as far as forecasting goes, the dynamics of how the weather interacts with these features, all these little islands and these inner channels, they all affect your forecast. And they're important things for like our mariners and our customers out there. So I would say that's probably the most challenging, the dreaded marine layer, obviously, mm-hmm. and fog. It continues to be a challenge. How far will it move in? How far will it stay out?
Right. Will it develop at all?
Exactly, exactly. So that's probably for me personally, I've seen my as my biggest challenge so far.
And on top of the tricky terrain here and all the channels, the models are awful.
Oh, of course.
Compared to in the Midwest.
Let's not forget the models.
Yeah, you know, you really can't, you know, pick just one and be like, oh, you know, this does really well today. No, it you really have to know the area and know how the model performs. And you're using your meteorology here so much more than the Midwest, I feel like. You know, the models have a really good handle of the weather there, you know, for the most part. But here, I mean, you really have to know your geography and know the altitude of each island and each area and city and know the direction of each canal because... I mean, there are so many microclimates here that the models just don't pick up on, even the high-res ones. So
you really
have to become a professional in just knowing the area, which, by the way, is the size of Florida.
Yes.
Southeast Alaska is huge.
It's huge. I'm knowing the area and, like you said, actually using our science and using the knowledge we've learned. I'm happy I brought my school notes with me. So
yes, I have all my books.
Referring back to those, they've been helpful so far.
Yeah, so kind of referring back to before you came here, did you have any perceived challenges that you would have? Or did you have any clue what challenges you might have forecasting here or even living here?
Yeah, all these things went through my head when I decided that I was going to move up here and take the job. As far as forecasting goes, I definitely knew being a marine environment, that was going to be the big challenge as far as forecasting. And then also winter weather. We're rapidly approaching that season now. And so that's going to be the next big challenge is forecasting for, you know, winter precip. And there's all kinds of things that go with that to make that challenging. So I'm actually looking forward to next couple weeks into the next couple months to learning more about how to forecast that and how to handle it, all the local features that dictate that.
I agree. I think over the past 4 months, I've gotten a really good handle on the summer weather here. You know, learning how everyone behaves, how the canals behave. And I know winter is a whole different beast here. And I am so excited to forecast for winter storms here. I still don't know what to expect. I mean, it's so different than what I'm used to in the Ohio Valley.
Well, the same. Tennessee, our winters are, let's get a few inches, you know, three, 4 inches of snow. And that's great for us.
No, I definitely understand what both of you are coming from. You know, in Chicago, it's definitely more along the lines of where exactly is the rain snow line going to set up. And it's just one single line. You know, it's not each island has it here, 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 here. It's just, it's going to set up here. This side's going to get snow. That side's going to get rain. But no, yeah, coming up here, definitely one of the thoughts that went through my mind was, what's the forecast environment where I'll, you know, get the most challenging and most dynamic situations available? And that was Juneau, and now here I am.
For me, since I've been here over a year and a half, I had one winter that I was able to forecast. And I'll tell you, that's probably the most difficult part of being a forecaster here in Juneau is trying to determine, of course, if it's going to rain or if it's going to snow, whether the temperature is going to be 33 or 31.
Because every little bit counts.
Yeah, and just the amount of snow, I'd say that's probably the most challenging thing for me is the forecasting the amount, whether it's going to be 2 to 3 inches and you're putting out an advisory or if it's going to be 4 to 6 inches.
And I'm sure it varies, you know, over short distances.
Oh, yeah. It can vary by a foot between downtown Juneau and the valley.
Exactly.
And the airport. Airport could be raining. Downtown or the back here at the valley at the office, we could get a foot of snow. Yeah. So
these are the exciting times that are approaching us.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
But
luckily, we have some very good senior forecasters here in the office that have been working on some good projects to help us with that.
Yes, pattern recognition, I've heard, is the way to go.
Definitely. All right, so moving on to the next question. As you start a new chapter in your life as a forecaster and starting your career here in Southeast Alaska, what are you most looking forward to?
I can start with this one. Enjoying the outdoors. Absolutely. You know, whether it's skiing, hiking, backpacking, climbing, this is the place to do it. You know, I think like we've said, you know, you walk outside and it's literally like a Nat Geo cover. And it shows in the landscape around us. And, you know, the city of Juneau and the government around us really does a great job of maintaining all these trails. You know, whether you're climbing Mount Juneau, you're going to the Mendenhall Glacier. And that's something I'm really looking forward to being able to use to the fullest in the next few months.
Yeah, it's something I've really been taken advantage of. We came here at a good time in the summer, and so we've got to experience some really nice weather and sunny days to get a chance to get out there. I say for me personally, you know, this is my first real job with using my degree out of school, and so to have the opportunity to come to a place like Alaska, like Juneau, for your first job is just, you know, not everyone gets that chance. So when I had that opportunity, I definitely was going to take it. And so now that I'm here, I'm looking forward just to, you know, continuing my career, learning more. I mean, I have a lot to learn, you know, fresh out of school. So I'm excited to learn from all of the, you know, the coworkers and the weather here, getting to experience weather that isn't necessarily anywhere else, and the challenges that come with that, and learning from those, and becoming a better forecaster, and eventually just building that resume, you know?
I totally understand. And what I love about living in Alaska is that it literally is the last frontier. So whenever I'm going on these hikes or I'm flying out to Anchorage and going hiking there, no matter where I'm going hiking, like, most of these places haven't been explored by a lot of people. You know, in Kentucky, you can go anywhere and everyone knows where you're going, and all those trails have been hiked, you know, for hundreds of years. But Alaska is such an unknown place, and that's what really intrigues me and makes me want to explore more. Like, I've climbed 2 mountains already here. I have flew to Anchorage, gone up to Talkeetna, and went to Hatcher Pass already. I've done Tracy Arm. There's so much that I've done, but that still doesn't compare to everything you can do in Alaska. There's so much more I want to explore. So I just can't wait to see what the next couple of years have to bring and all that I get to see.
Exactly.
No, you mentioned the last frontier, and that's absolutely true. I remember seeing a bear here, a black bear, you know, my first day, just casually crossing the road in front of me. That's not a sight I'm used to seeing, you know? I mean, from Chicago, I'm not going to lie.
And even in Kentucky, you don't see that often.
And so, yeah, it's one of those great things, you know, like when people ask you, where do you work? You know, your friends are, where are you living right now? And you say Alaska, and they just pause, and they're like, Alaska? Alaska?
Do you live in an igloo?
Literally. I have gotten that asked to me so many times by my friends back home.
Has it started snowing there yet?
Yeah.
Yep,
those all the questions that you get.
Are there people up there?
Or is it just you?
Yeah, they don't realize we live in a normal city.
Yeah.
Like, people's perceptions down south of Alaska are totally skewed from, you know, these TV shows of the Alaskan bush people. Like,
no, literally, you're right. You're spot on.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I may have had those passing thoughts before I moved here.
And the only bears that you see in Chicago are at Soldier Field or Wrigley.
Yeah, well, they aren't doing too badly. So, I mean, at least they went last I checked.
Yeah.
We'll see how that lasts.
All right. Coming on to the final question. This one is go into as much detail as you'd like or not. But what has been your most humbling moment so far?
I think, I don't know if I've been here long enough to have like a really humbling moment, but there have been a couple times where I totally messed up the forecast and I was like, yeah, I can see what happened. Like a couple of weeks ago, forecasting high temperatures, I could have swore we were going to break all these records and get into the 70s because it was going to be sunny, it was going to be warm. And I didn't take into account the sun angle. That is something I've never had to experience or even take into account. is the lower sun angle, the fact that we're not heating up a lot. So when I was off by like 5 degrees for my highs, I was like, oh, interesting. Now that's, I think that's a cool, something cool to, that you don't really get to deal with down south.
Oh yeah, I'd say we probably have plenty more humbling experiences to come.
Oh yeah, that's nothing compared, I'm sure, to what's going to come this winter.
Yeah, I think for me personally, it's just the whole experience itself. Going from a place you know you've been your whole life and then moving just, you know, out of nowhere, you just pick up and you travel 5,000 miles away from home. So the whole process of me moving up here on my own and everything that came along with that has been very humbling. And of course, here in the office, learning things that you never learn in school, you have this perception of what you know and what you don't know. And so you come in here like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And then all these things open up for you and you're like, okay, take a step back. Let's learn a little bit. So the whole experience has been very humbling so far. I'm sure, like I said, there's plenty more of those experiences to come.
I agree with you. I mean, I could forecast for Kentucky, you know, so easily. I've been doing it, you know, for years. But coming up here, it's nothing like what I expected. I feel like I'm new at forecasting again. Like, I have to relearn everything.
Let's go back
to
school.
So different. But I love that. You know, I'm learning every day. And, you know, I'm becoming a much better forecaster because of it. You know, I can move anywhere else in the country, I feel like. And, you know, nothing's going to be as hard as forecasting in Southeast Alaska.
Exactly. No, I think you're both absolutely spot on there. You know, you can go to school and, you know, you can think to yourself at the end of it all, okay, I'm definitely one of the operationally focused guys at school. I know what I'm talking about. I can put together a pretty good forecast. You get to Alaska, day one, I have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, yeah, throw out all the old notes. I know you said you keep your notes, Caleb. But,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, like your mental forecasting process, you know, the tools you developed for the Midwest or Kentucky or Mississippi.
Oh, nothing, you know, nothing beats experience.
No, nothing beats experience, and this is the best place to get it.
No doubt.
Great. Well, I think that's it for our roundtable discussion. Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts.
I think we should do this again in the spring next year and see how our thoughts have changed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know. Closing thoughts. I'm super, like I said, I think we're all super excited to be here. Some here have been here longer than others, but we're all starting to figure it out. We are getting some hours under our belts, I guess, as one would say, and is looking forward to winter as it approaches and excited for the opportunities that lie ahead for us.
One of the things that I've definitely noticed, and you know, some of the everyone with senior forecasters in the office will mention this repeatedly, is that forecasting in Alaska, you can get better at it, you can get better still, but it's real difficult to actually ever master it. You know, it's something that's an ongoing learning process. You know, every year brings something different. Every week, every day, in fact, brings something different. That's one of the great challenges and great opportunities of this office, you know. You don't just fall into a slump and just get used to doing the same thing day after day after day. There's always something new to figure out, always a new challenge to face.
Oh, yeah, that's what I love about Juneau.
Yeah, you know? Always trying to determine if that one little town is going to get 3 inches of snow or 10 inches.
Yeah. All right. Well, that closes it up. Thanks to Caleb, Greg, and Cody for joining us. And this has been Daniel.
Signing out.
There you have it. National Weather Service Juneau's new kids on the block. Not only have they brought fresh voices, but fresh thinking and perspectives. We're already reaping the benefits of having them on station. Finally, we get to tackle our listener-submitted question. We've had a lot of great questions, but we want more. You should submit one. On your smartphone, open your favorite recording or memo app and voice us your question. Then send it to juneau.weather@noaa.gov. That's Juneau as in the city, weather@noaa.gov. Rain, scattered showers, slight chance of rain, widespread rain showers, isolated rain showers, numerous rain showers. Chances are you've all heard this before. But what are we talking about? What's the difference? Forecasters use a lot of different phrases to describe precipitation. This summer, we got a great question asking us to explain. David sat down with Nicole for an explanation from this week's listener submitted question.
All right, it's David and Nicole here with the question and answer session for the week. This week's question comes from Joe in Petersburg, and his question is, how many different ways do forecasters describe rainy conditions in Southeast Alaska? For instance, what's the difference between numerous showers, widespread showers, and rain heavy at times? Nicole, what is the difference between all those terms?
That's a great question that Joe sent in to us. It's not as complicated as some might think. Really, it's the difference between the aerial coverage of showers versus stratiform rain. It might be easiest to start off by describing or defining what convective showers are versus stratiform rain. Convective showers are what you would see in a thunderstorm environment where the clouds are more vertical and the rates of precipitation can go up and down quite a bit, or the showers will be intermittent, whereas stratiform is what we see here in Southeast Alaska a lot of the time, where the coverage of the rain is pretty uniform. It's just like a dreary day where the clouds are very flat and the precipitation is continuous and steady in its intensity. It's not fluctuating up and down a lot like a drizzly day.
Yeah, we get quite a few of those. So I guess stratiform would be the one that we see the most. So what covered or what terms do we use to describe stratiform precipitation here?
That's when you'll usually see the forecast say rain likely, or just rain if it's a high probability, like greater than 80% is what we would consider definite rain. Whereas likely is anywhere from 60% to about upper 70s. For probabilities. And then as you go down in the probability of precipitation, you'll have chance and then slight chance.
So would a nice day in Southeast Alaska be like cloudy with a chance of rain?
Well, sometimes it can be. Usually you'll see wording like that, especially if you've got rain moving in or out. It's more likely to show a increasing or decreasing trend. So you want to see if it's going up or down.
Let's talk about showers then. So what's the difference between numerous showers and widespread showers? And I think there's also scattered showers and isolated showers. What's the difference?
We use those terms very similar to the rainfall ones in that it's the probability of precipitation. So scattered showers really just means that there's about a 30% chance of showers. But if we did get them, they would be scattered in an area. Does that make sense?
So I could get a shower in downtown Juneau and it would be sunny in the valley?
Oh yeah, we see that quite a bit, don't we?
Yeah. Or maybe it would be showering in Wrangell and it would be like partly cloudy in Petersburg, for instance, something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So I guess, you know, summing things up, there are many different ways to describe, like, what is the likelihood of precipitation? And we break those up into the type of precipitation it is, whether it would be showery, intermittent, or whether it's kind of widespread, like steady state, and that would be stratiform. And the categories then would change based on whether they're stratiform or showery, right? So that's where we get more of a numerous scattered widespread for showers, and we'd have chance, likely, and definite for stratiform. Is that kind of the way we break it down?
Exactly. The aerial coverage versus probability.
Gotcha. It's a complex topic. I'm not sure that all meteorologists really understand what goes into percent of precipitation. It's one of the harder things for us to put into words. It's also one of the hardest things to convey to the public. So great question, Joe.
Yes,
and
thanks.
Hopefully we answered that to your satisfaction.
That's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Joe in Petersburg for his amazing question, and also a big thanks to National Weather Service Juneau's New Kids on the Block for a riveting discussion on forecasting in Southeast Alaska. Initial impressions. Tune in next week for another edition of Weather Seekers Podcast. This podcast was produced by meteorologists from the National Weather Service Juneau on Thursday afternoon, September 19, 2019. For your most up-to-date forecast, please visit weather.gov/Juneau. We wish you all a great weekend and never let the weather ruin your day.